This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Thank you for joining us on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to Cavs HQ. Tim Alcorn, Jim Jones, and Jim, we're going to have another busy show this week. Two terrific guests, of course, a great friend of mine and a fellow broadcaster, one of the voices on the radio side for the Cleveland Guardians, Jim Rosenhaus, is going to stop by and pay us a visit. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to hear from one of our favorites. Every time he joins us, it's a lot of fun, in Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, although said we'll certainly touch on the passing of one Bill Russell. But it's going to be an interesting show coming up.
Yes, it will. And very informative. I'm a big former Indians, now Guardian fans, a really good big-time fan of Tito yes. Francona, because even when we played in the 2016 finals out in San Francisco, who was sitting courtside but Tito? Tito was right there with us. I know this guy, he loves basketball also, and he came to about year in and year out. You know, we're there four straight times, and Tito was there, sitting there watching the games, always there.
That's a great story. All right, so we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll start things off with Rosie. Jim Rosenhaus from the Guardians Radio Network will join us. So stay with us on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back. It's Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Alcorn, along with Jim Jones, and of course our dynamic duo on the other side of the window, Marty Allen, Kirk McLaughlin. And our first guest this week is a guy that I spent some time with a couple of months ago. I was honored to be asked by the Guardians to do some baseball work while they were out on the road. And I did six games in Colorado and in Los Angeles with Jim Rosenhaus, Rosie, part of the Hammy and Rosie broadcast team for the Guardians. And he now joins us on Cavs HQ to maybe talk a little Cavs basketball, but we'll talk some Guardians baseball as well. Rosie, it is great to have you, man. It's good to hear your voice and talk to you again.
Good to be here, Tim. And I'm surprised you didn't mention that your record was 5-1. So if it comes down to it at the end of the year, we might need to bring you in.
Well, all I'll say is when we got on the plane to leave Los Angeles, Tito mentioned to me, Tim, we were 5-1. So Tito was very well aware of it as well. But no, it was a blast. And again, thank you to you and Curtis Danberg with the Guardians and the organization for having me sit in. It was such a joy. And you and I had a lot of fun on that trip. And let's kind of start there. You and Hammy, for the most part, have had a lot of fun covering this Guardians baseball team this summer. Such a young team, but led by a Hall of Fame manager in Tito Francona. Rosie, how are they doing it?
You know, it's amazing, guys. Leaving spring training or toward the tail end of spring training, there was just so little buzz because you knew it was going to be a young team and they were really going to commit to the young players. And that was exciting because sometimes you get caught in the middle and that's the worst place to be, I think. And they just said, look, this is a year we really need to find out about some young players. And there were some that even we hadn't really heard much about prior to spring training, but it's turned into a team that, I mean, they have a fun style of play that's a little bit different in today's game. That's, I think, so common where you have those three outcomes. It's either a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. But this team puts the ball in play a ton, and they run the bases great. And when they get the good pitching, they've been able to win a lot of games. So it's been a pleasant surprise and really an enjoyable season so far.
Rosie, I just want to thank you for coming on. And And I start, as we all did, we all started out in baseball. And I tell you what, I got hit once when I was 13. After that, I'd flinch and cry on anything thrown close to me. I struck out probably more times than anybody my age when I played a YMCA baseball. But the point I want to ask you about is this, is that you've drafted some kids. This kid's, how do you say his name, Chase DeLauder?
Yes.
Yes, from James Madison. What did you see in that kid? I mean, you had a pretty decent draft position, but you picked up this kid. What did you like about him?
You know, just from the scouting reports and listening to the scouting director after the draft, another player who, he's an outfielder and heavy contact, you know, with very few strikeouts. And that's kind of what they've been profiling in the last couple of drafts, trying to get more contact hitters. You love the power, and he's got a little bit of power, showed that this spring. But I think they feel his upside with a lot of contact, he'll grow into his power. He's a big kid. But again, with as you know, with, you know, an NBA draft, you're bringing in a kid to help right away.
Yep.
Baseball, it's several years away. Now, he might be a little bit closer because he's a college-drafted player. But, gosh, it just seems like it's so far down the road, you don't worry about it too much. But at least, you know, the initial reports are a lot of good contact, power potential there, and a decent outfielder, too.
Jim, to follow up on Jim Jones's point, the fact that the Guardians have had so many players come through the system, I think I heard you guys talking one night, there's been 12 or 13 maybe this year that have made their major league debut with the Guardians this season. Just talk about player development and how these young guys are working through the system to get to the major league level.
It's remarkable. Friday night starter Hunter Gaddis, coming up to pitch and make his major league debut, will be the 13th major league debut this season.
Wow.
It's unheard of. So with that comes some ups and downs, but it's amazing how prepared these players have been. I mean, immediately they're making an impact. Nolan Jones came up and was on a tear. Stephen Kwan, all season long after debuting on opening day, has been tremendous. You know, and many, many others who are playing in their first major league season. It doesn't work out, you know, smoothly for everybody. Some of them have to go back to the minor leagues. But I think what it tells you is that the development system is real strong. They're prepared when they get here. Whatever's going on at AAA Columbus is really good, because when these guys get up here, sure, they're nervous. Sure, they're excited because it's their debut. But they don't seem to be awed by the moment. And the other part of that is, and this kind of tied into the trade deadline a little bit, the Guardians chose to stand pat. And sometimes that does not go over well with veterans on a team that's in contention. And again, they're heading into Friday, they were just a game out of first place. And the veterans, in a lot of cases, they want to see the club make some moves, bring in some established players, some help, so to speak. But the veterans on this club, they said, you know what, these kids have earned their spots and they're doing okay. And they bring a certain vibe to that clubhouse and the day-to-day and all that kind of good stuff. And they were totally fine with just leaving it alone and seeing what this club could do down the stretch and finding out more about these young players, who's going to fit this year, but also in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, that's very interesting, because I'm looking at Tito, and it's a credit to, you know, to how he does things. And, you know, he has that ability to settle down your veterans. But when I was doing some homework, can you explain the bonus pool, the pick value of the bonus pool? It sounds like it's similar to the way our lottery is set up in the NBA.
Your first, I think it's the first 10 picks you have a bonus pool. After that, you can move it around. But that's why you see in a lot of cases, maybe like a fourth round pick, they have slots for them of what they're supposed to get. You're not tied to that. So a lot of times, maybe a fourth round pick, you'll go below slot to leave a little extra room for a guy you think might fall to the eighth round because he's supposedly not signable. But then you have this extra money and you can use that for that slot. So you have an overall pile of money their suggested slots for the certain rounds. And this is probably way too complicated for everybody.
I know it is, but
hopefully
but
it makes sense.
Stuff. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the fans like it. But anyway, so you can move that around, and that's where you what the Guardians have been really good at is finding some players who maybe, you know, they fell for whatever reason. Maybe they're coming off Tommy John surgery if they're a pitcher and you're taking a real chance on them because no one's seen them for a while. But you believe in what you saw before that, and you believe in the medicals to get them back to where they should be. So that's where you see some of that stuff moving around in terms of the pool and the slot.
Great info. Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus. He's part of the radio broadcast duo for the Guardians, Hammy and Rosie. We'll take a quick time out when we come back. We'll talk more with Jim about the Guardians and, of course, the passing of Vin Scully. So stay with us. It's Cavs HQ presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Elkhorn along with Jim Jones. And again, we're thrilled to have with us this week one of the voices that does Guardians baseball on the radio, Jim Rosenhaus. Of course, there are many shared stations on the Cavaliers Radio Network and the Guardians Radio Network. So a lot of our Cavs fans that are listening on our network affiliates certainly know Rosie very, very well. Jim, you and I, while we were on the road, we did a lot of chatting, had a couple of good breakfasts. In fact, Jim Rosenhaus and I found a great place in Denver. So when we're playing the Nuggets, when the schedule comes out, I'm going to take you to where Rosie and I had breakfast. But Rosie, you and I were talking about, obviously, the Guardians, but about the Cavs and the similarities between these organizations. Young players that are hungry and making an impact. Tito and his life in baseball with his father, and J.B. Bickerstaff, his life in basketball with his dad, Bernie Bickerstaff. But share with our listeners what you and I talked about, that there really are parallels between these organizations.
Well, you know, I think they're, at least for this year, and maybe it's just the way the rosters were constructed, they're very likable teams.
Yes.
And their style of play, I think, too, has been a lot of fun. Look, I'm going to say I'm a fan. I mean, I enjoy both games, and you know, I'll go to some Cavs games with my kids and wife during the winter time. And I think our most memorable one, I think it was New Year's Eve or right around there when they played the Hawks and they lost the game. They had a ton of injuries, but you left there and you're thinking, man, that's a fun brand of basketball they're playing. And that was a really good game. I mean, it was a close game. They lost at the end and Trae Young went wild, and I think in the fourth quarter, but and I think there's a lot of nights like that. You know, we always say it is rare the nights where, even if they're losing, the Guardians don't at least bring the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning.
Yes.
And the flip side of that is I think they're now at 20 last at-bat wins, which is tops in Major League Baseball. So I think that gives you a real good idea of how competitive they are, and they don't fear the late game situations. And maybe the Cavs are the same way. And I know, you know, they pulled some out late, and I don't know if exceeding expectations is a fair thing to say, because then you're kind of putting limits on teams, but they sure were fun to watch, the Cavs in the wintertime. And this year's Guardians team has been a lot of fun to watch too. And I think it's style of play. Maybe the youth has something to do with it too, but it's been a lot of fun to watch both teams in the last calendar year.
Yeah, Jimmy, it's almost like they're feeding off each other, because when I was playing, the Browns were pretty good, cardiac kids, and then the Indians were pretty good with one of my close friends, Albert Bell. And so we had just started to play better. It seems like they all share in that same atmosphere of competition.
You know, it's funny, Jim, in 16, when the Cavs won it all and the Guardians went to the World Series, Michael Brantley had season tickets for the Cavs. I think Jason Kipnis might have as well. I know Tito did.
Yes.
And our games, when we were at home, our games would get done. And if you guys were still playing across the street, they would sneak underneath there through the park and find their way at least into the fourth quarter. And if we had a day game and you guys had a night game, I don't know where these guys were finding playoff tickets, but they were. And they happened to be there. So, and then it came full circle in the fall You know, the memorable scene after the Rajay Davis home run in Game 7 of the World Series of LeBron in the suite flexing and, you know, all the guys were up there. And I know they were at a ton of postseason games, not just LeBron, but the rest of the team. So they, I think they do feed off each other, and it's a lot of fun.
That's a great point. Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus from the Guardians Radio Network, gracious enough to stop by and pay us a visit. And Rosie, coming up a little bit later in the show, Jim and I will have a chance to talk with Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, of course, of Boston Celtics fame. And we'll chat with Cornbread about the passing of Bill Russell. And in the world of baseball, a huge passing this week, the iconic Vin Scully. And take a moment or two as a broadcaster, number one, and also share with our listeners, you had a chance to meet and interact with Vin, but just talk a little bit about Vin Scully and really not only what he meant to the Dodgers, but to the game of baseball.
Maybe before I do, Jim, I mean, I haven't played out there and gosh, Chick Hearn was one of the best for the Lakers too, an icon. I imagine Vin Scully was part of the fabric of the community out there.
He was, you know, and I had a chance to meet him a couple of times and I kept staring at his hair because his hair, because not one hair moved, you know, and he was always dressed like he was a billionaire. What a dresser. But when he spoke, I said, this is a very learned man. His use of words and to keep it simple, you know, during the broadcast and the way he used to let it breathe. You remember that?
Yes.
Classic stuff, man.
Well, Tim was alluding to it. I met him in 2014. We were out there for a series at Dodger Stadium. Only time I met him. And I mean, it was like he knew you for years. He had come out of his booth and there's a hallway from the main press area to the radio and television booths. And he had come out of his and I was walking toward ours. And so I introduced myself and I mean, it was classic Vin. You know, hi, Jim. Welcome to the major leagues. And then, you know, his wife was standing there. It just was awesome. And, you know, it's just a minute or two. I know Tom has spent a lot more time with him over the years. But Kawasawa was great about Vin Scully. I don't think it was planned. But somehow, some way, his stories during the course of his play-by-play were legendary. And that's the, you know, the biggest difference from what you guys do on basketball, moves so much quicker. There's a lot of downtime and a lot of room for stories in a baseball broadcast. And it was amazing because he would tell a story while a player was at bat. And if he wasn't quite done, these guys would foul off pitch after pitch. Like they were saying, you know what, I think Vin's telling a story here. Make the count unfold. Let's throw to first a little bit and foul off another pitch or two until he's done with his story. And it was amazing. No one, everyone else like, we got to go to commercial. We'll finish this story next half inning. Never Vin Scully. You know, there's a million great calls that he's had. But to me, that was always the, you know, the separator for him. He was so great at it.
And we'll wrap things up by ending where we began. Jim, three of the games that I did with you earlier this year were at Dodger Stadium. And just the presence, he wasn't there, but the presence of Vin Scully was palpable in the press box. It's the Vin Scully press box. And just knowing where he worked, you could feel it. Just the legendary status that he has within that organization for sure, but certainly throughout the game of baseball. It's incredible.
There's no question. And a gentleman by the name of Joe Davis is following Vin Scully. He started while Vin was still doing the games, kind of helping with the transition. And then he's taken over as that TV voice. And as he says, you know, he's not replacing Vin Scully. He just happens to be the next guy. And as you said, there's so much there. Hey, real quick, before we go, did you say Cornbread Maxwell's coming on next?
Yes, he is.
You let him know that I did 2 years high school basketball in Kinston, North Carolina at his high school. When I was doing the Kinston Indians, my first 2 years in baseball, my off-season job, Jerry Stackhouse was the big gun for the Kinston Vikings. But let him know that I did their games for a couple of years back in the early 90s.
That's great, man. We will pass that along. That's really cool stuff. Well, Rosie, again, good to talk to you again. Not only a fellow broadcaster, but a great friend great to have you on Cavs HQ. And we'll set you up with some more tickets for Cavs games during this winter.
How's that's that? Right.
Thanks, Rosie. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks, Rosie. Jim Rosenhaus joining us here on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Great to hear from Rosie. We'll take a quick timeout, and as Jim just plugged, we will indeed have a conversation with Cedric Cornbread Maxwell that comes up next. So stay with us on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Last Monday was our third Dunks for Dollars, Saves for Goals, presented by Lexus end-of-season event held at Merrick House, where children receive new basketball hoops and basketballs, hockey goals, balls and sticks, participated in basketball and hockey clinics, got to learn new dance moves with members of Powerhouse Dance Team, and took home snacks and swag to close out the afternoon. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be back with more Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, after this on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Elthorn along with Jim Jones, of course, the dynamic duo on the other side, Kurt McLaughlin and Marty Allen. And again, a great big thank you to Jim Rosenhaus for stopping by and paying us a visit. And up next into that legend's chair is one Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, one of our favorite guests on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. He has given us some memorable moments, and we thought it would be appropriate to have Ced back on this week, because for as many laughs and as many great times as we've had with Ced, we wanted to start things off, at least in this conversation, touching on the passing of one Bill Russell, certainly one of the greatest to ever lace them up in the NBA. But not only that, his work in civil rights and in social justice, just a majestic human being. So, Ced, first of all, welcome back. As I said, we'd love to have you on this show. And I'm sure you and Jim will get much further into this, but just your initial thoughts on the passing of one Bill Russell.
Well, as we do in the Black community, that's a celebration of life. You know, this dude was so great in what he did. And as Jim will tell you, hands down, the greatest winner ever in sports in American history, with a number of championships. But as good as he was as a player, an athlete, he was a better person for social issues and injustices and all those things that go along. He sat on the front lines. And Jim, I heard somebody mention me, and I've done a bunch of interviews talking about Bill Russell, and they said, well, we're going to talk to Celtic legend Cedric Maxwell, and he's going to talk about a legend, Bill Russell. I said, dude, don't mention my name in the same breath when you talk about a legend. Bill Russell was a legend. I'm just a dude who played, you know, basketball, because he was extraordinary in so many different ways. And the world is a little bit smaller because of Russell leaving, but it's a little bit better with Russell being in this world with the things he's done.
Yes, well said. Well said, Brad. And just want to thank you again for sitting in. You are our best guest. In fact, you're our most frequent guest because of your tremendous insight and our dear friendship. But Bill Russell was my idol, and I don't talk much about idols and heroes, but I've read everything I could on Russell. It's up from Glory, which all of us had to read at, you know, in junior high school. It was in the library, and Second Wind and Russell's Rules, and then Red and Me. I've read them all, man. And then I've got a couple of Sports Illustrated covers, you know, where he has all the rings on his hands. And then the other one where he had been golfing, was early in his career. They had him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I have both of those in my possession. But the main thing I wanted to talk about Russell was his social consciousness, because that's what separated him, I thought, from all of the modern day and former, and puts him in a class there with Paul Robeson, and also puts him in a class there with Ali. It puts him in the same vein as all of those, Jackie Robinson, of course. But those were the times, wasn't it, Brent?
Those were the times you're talking about, with Bill Russell. And, you know, as much as I want to talk about those issues, I'm going to highlight and say the funny things about Russell. Bill Russell was funny as hell. Jim, every time he saw me, I'm not sure if he did this to you, but every time the man saw me, he would smile. I would smile. I would wave. He would smile at me. And the next thing he'd do, he'd give me the middle finger. He would always give me the finger. And I said, dude, why are you doing that? And he'd give me the finger again. If he liked you, he gave you the middle finger. If he didn't like you, shook your damn hand. So that's what Russell was. He was a chameleon. He loved the game. He loved people, but he loved to keep people guessing, and who he was and what he did. And we talk about the city of Boston and, you know, winning more championships, even during the time they won. You know, you can't even do it, Jim. You know how the Lakers said, you know, a three-peat. Well, this man won 8 times in a row, back to back to back. That's how many times they won championships in a row. And he did it several times as a coach. He was the first Black coach in the NBA. To my knowledge, maybe the first Black coach in North America. I'm not sure about that one. I know in the NBA. And he won championships, even coaching. I was there when Dave Cowens was a player coach for us. Dave Cowens was not good. He was a great player. He couldn't bridge those two things together. And that's what was so extraordinary about Bill. He was there, Jim, as you like to say. You know, you and I laugh about stuff. When Martin Luther King was speaking, I Have a Dream, Bill Russell was there. He was in the front row. I mean, we look at that stuff on TV. He lived history. He was history. And that's what makes him so unique when you talk about somebody that you and I literally have shook his hand and we were there on those doorsteps. When you sit down and talk to him for a few minutes, and I never talked to him a long period of time, but the few minutes I got, it was always some kind of insight about life and how things happened during that particular time. He even told me one story. He didn't tell me this story, but actually the great Sam Jones told me how they were in a lunchroom, I want to say Fort Wayne, Indiana. And when Fort Wayne had their team, and Sam rushes up to the counter, because Sam said, I was the fastest one. So I got up there with my tray and I was ready to pay for my food. And the woman, white woman, said, excuse me, sir, but we don't serve colors here. And it was just like, what? And that's what I'm talking about. You know, we look at the young guys now, we even look at ourselves, and we see the difference of the shoulders that we had to stand on. That's Russell, and people like that.
His commitment to social issues and social justice was the foundation for everything that the NBA is about today as far as social consciousness and diversity and inclusion. It all started with Jackie, of course, but it's come this far because of people like Bill Russell. But I want to tell you another humor story. We were playing someone, and Brad, you know how emotional I could get during the course of a game. So I fouled somebody, which I did quite frequently, and I didn't think it was a foul. Bill Russell was doing the game, right? And so I jumped up in the air, and the announcer, well, there's Jones. He disagrees with that call. And I jumped in the air, and I was hollering at the official, and Bill said, look, if he comes down, it's a technical.
Oh, that's great.
His humor was unmatched.
Oh, when he did games with Brent Musburger and that infectious laugh of his, I mean, he enjoyed the broadcast, but he also knew when to step back and just let the game speak for itself.
Yes, he did.
Man, brilliant. Yeah, forget about that moment. You talk about the games he did when he was on TV. How about the one he did with Rick Barrett? That will always go down. People won't remember it, but he did the game with Rick Barrett. And I want to say it might have been, it wasn't Musburger, but somebody else, who was the head guy. And he has a picture of Bill Russell and he's smiling. And the guy all of a sudden looks at Rick Barry, said, "Hey, Rick, you know who that is? Smiling like that?" And Rick Barry said, "Yeah, I know who that is with that big Walter Millen smile." Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
It was a moment which will live in forever. And Bill Russell did not say anything for the rest of the broadcast.
Yes.
Bill. So Bill Russell, even then, was going to make a stance regardless of what was happening.
That's right. That's right, brother.
Spoke loudly without saying a word.
That's right. Silence is golden.
Yep. We'll take a quick time out. Again, one of our favorite guests, Cedric Cornbread Maxwell from the Boston Celtics, joins us. We'll hear more from Ced after this on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Continuing our conversation with Ced Maxwell from the Boston Celtics, yours truly, Tim Elkhorn, along with Jim Jones. And Jim, get things started with Ced here in segment two.
We talked about Russell and the tradition of Boston winning. You picked up Brogdon. There was a lot of rumors that you guys had a chance to pick up Kevin Durant. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. It looks like you guys feel that you're that close.
Hear my thoughts, Jim. I love to get your text messages all of a sudden.
You've been getting them.
All of a sudden, Jim, I get a message from Jim Jones said, "Now you got your point guard." He loves this boy. I love how he's kind of going and picking that. But to me, Brogdon is one hell of a player. He's a point guard. He can shoot the basketball. I think a combo with Marcus, I think, is going to be good. Now they keep talking about Kevin Durant. Would you make the trade for Kevin Durant? And they're looking right now at Jaylen Brown. Now you're asking me, I love Jaylen Brown. I absolutely love Jaylen Brown. But if I had an opportunity to go out and get Kevin Durant,
tell me about
Jaylen,
it.
Jaylen, you better get your street clothes because right now you're packing up. And because there are a few exceptional players in this league which change the temperament of a team or change trajectory. He's one of them. And you look at him and you go, well, why would you say that? Because he's such a dynamic scorer. I remember when the Boston Celtics were about to make a move and everybody at one time loved Al Jefferson. Al Jefferson with the Boston Celtics many years ago was this up-and-coming second-year guy, couldn't be stopped in the post, unbelievable. And all of a sudden, there was rumors that you were about to make a trade for Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. And myself and Tommy Heinsohn, we all were like, oh, you don't make that trade, he's young. They made that trade. I saw Kevin Garnett play the first game. I was like, well, Al, it was nice to meet you. Kevin Garnett was a different maker. He was a culture changer. He changed Paul Pierce's temperament. He changed Ray Allen. He made Boston into a dynamic winning club. Now, is Kevin Durant like that? No, that's not his temperament. But what he is a scorer, Jim, and that nobody can stop in this league. The only way to stop him is him. And if you had him on your team against Golden State during the finals, you win it. You have another ring. So that's why I said I think that, you know, you have to look at it, evaluate it. But for me, I make that move.
Yeah, one other thing, Cornbread. Do you remember when I texted you about Tatum? Because he was taking all the blame. And I'm looking at your play. And remember, I said it was your point guard play in the closing minutes in the fourth quarter. Smart is not a creator consistently. And that's when you need defense are at their best and you got to get to all your best people. That never happened. I didn't want him taking the blame. I said, why is this kid taking the blame for not scoring in the fourth quarter? Where was the point guard play? You know,
when you get Jim, you know, when you get the big bucks and people look at you as the star, they don't look around at anybody else. They just look at that particular player and see that he elevated his game. Yes, you would want to have easier shots. I think that that is true. And the other thing that might have happened, because he was handling the basketball so much, he turned it over. When you talk about
he had almost
100 turnovers during during the NBA finals. And that to me, well, during the whole, you know, playoff system, he broke a record. So that to me is another thing that you have to look at with the Celtics and who they are. And, you know, Brad Stevens, you know, he's done a pretty good job as GM now. Now does he pull that trigger and make another move? I think that's going to be a good one. I already got Gallinari. I like that move. It's going to extend your court presence when he's shooting the basketball. But I just love Kevin Durant. I love Kevin Durant.
So in your view, said you think that's still percolating? You think there's still a possibility of Durant ending up in Boston?
Well, I think that's the package that they want. That I keep hearing is that they want a dynamic player like Brown, who is going to be an all-star. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to be an all-star. And I think that Jim and I would say this, and knowing the game, you can't take it personally. When people start talking about trading you, it means that other teams, you know, value you that much more.
Yes.
So don't take it personal that somebody say, hey, you know, you might get traded. You have to be a great player to make that kind of move, to make it happen in so many ways. And I've been traded. Jim's been traded before. Hell, I was traded for a guy who was who loved the Grateful Dead and Bill Walton. So, you know, just saying. I didn't take it personal. That was just business. That's what they wanted to do. And Red Auerbach said it best. Never, ever fall in love with the product. Always be able to look at it, evaluate it, and make a decision if it's going to make your team better or not.
Oh, that's a great point. Again, we're talking with Seth Maxwell from the Boston Celtics. Of course, he's a legend on that Celtics wall and certainly a part of their broadcast team now as he joins us here on Cavs HQ. Seth, I'm always interested to get the other side's perspective of the Cavaliers. We can sit here and talk about the Celtics, and I'd love doing that with you, but just real quick, what do you think of what the Cavaliers are and are becoming?
Well, I think they've become a very interesting club. And if they can stay healthy, I just hope that they don't go out and make some kind of move. And the move that you know, the million-dollar move would be for them to go back somehow and get LeBron James to come back. I think that would stifle a young basketball club. You have some young players who are developing into very good players. And if you come in and bring a veteran in like LeBron, who is still, you know, still the show, then I think it's going to take away from the growth from those other young players that you might have. I've seen Garland, you know, that first year, Garland said, I was the best point guard that nobody took. Well, this year he came back and proved exactly his point. And then you have all these other guys who I think Mobley, this is a good young club that has to really just be patient and not think, hey, we're going to win the championship immediately. If they look at the long term, this Cavs team could be good for a long time.
Yeah, and I know you're right about that, Fred, because from everything I've heard, that's exactly how they're thinking. Now, the East seems to be positioning itself. You guys have to be number one. I thought you just – there were two games I thought you could have won going into the fourth quarter, but we already talked about that. It got away from you. But Brad, talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference and how hot it is.
Well, it's going to be amazing. What happens right now with Milwaukee, with Middleton coming back, some of the players that they've gotten. You still look at Joel Embiid as, you know, arguably the most dominant big in the league right now. Will Philly be able to make that next move? you know, Miami's still going to be in the mix. They still got good players in Jimmy Butler and Bam. Those are really good players. It's going to be a dog fight. It's going to be a dog fight for a lot of the teams out there. I didn't, and some of it I didn't understand, like the trade that they had down in Atlanta to get Murray from San Antonio. I didn't particularly like that, because to me, I think Trae Young needs the ball to be effective, and Murray needs the ball to be effective. So I'm not sure how that combo is going to work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Well, on that note, our friend, we're going to let you go. Again, great insights as always. Thank you for sharing your stories about Bill Russell, the all-time greatest Boston Celtic, and thoughts on the NBA in general. It is always so much fun to have you joining us here on Cavs HQ.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I appreciate it. Love it. I'm sure I'll be back again, and I can't wait for the alcohol that you guys are going to set.
You will have it. You will have it. I'll make that call as soon as we get off the phone.
All right, my brother. Y'all take it easy.
Okay, you too.
Talk to you.
All right. Cedric Cornbread Maxwell joining us here on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, one of our favorite guests, and certainly at the top of the list as far as entertainment value. He's terrific. We'll take a time out and we'll put the finishing touches on this week's edition of Cavs HQ right after this on the Cavaliers Radio Network. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Boy, those were two fun conversations. Jim Rosenhaus from the Guardians Radio Network, talking a little Guardians baseball, and of course, on the passing of one Vin Scully, and then one of our favorites, Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, talking about the NBA, and of course another sad passing in that of Bill Russell. Thanks to Kurt and Marty, Jim Jones, thanks to you. Biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners. We'll talk to you again next week on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavs Radio Network. So until then, so long, everybody.